Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program, off and running on Tuesday, March 26th, 2024, in our 14th year with the radio program in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, the radio station, one of five here under one roof, part of the Bustos Media growing presence in Tucson. This one's 1030. KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk. We have all of our live listening. Listen to the program at buckmastershow.com. Also the place for all of our programs, conveniently archived, 13 years plus now of content on my website. For our telephone interviews, and we'll be doing actually only one today, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are off to Terry Bracey, who is down in the Sunshine State, down in Florida. Terry is our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. His unique role in representing Tucson's interests began with a 10-year stint on the staff of the famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to a sub-cabinet position by President Carter and subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of a respected public affairs firm in D.C., Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. Terry is also a contributing columnist to the Arizona Daily Star. Hey, Terry, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing fine. We're down here ducking the cold weather for a week, so I hope we don't have any connection problems.
Well, so far,
hey, I'm excited about the Wildcats, though. We're now in the Sweet 16, and they've got a tough road ahead of them, but it'd be fun to see them go as far as they can.
Yeah, I really think they will go to the Final Four. That's my prediction for what it is worth. Terry, I want to begin with your column, Welcome to Greedflation, was kind of the title that the folks at the Star put on your contributing opinion piece in Sunday's Star. And a lot of people are grumbling about the economy, and we've touched on this a lot with Shelley Fishman. Yeah, they're grumbling, but really, the jobs are plentiful and on, and President Biden's not getting a lot of credit for this.
Well, it's really true, and it's unfair to the president because he's been the only person in the game standing up for the working person. But, you know, it's people see a different world sometimes. I mean, for example, let's just look at this. You got a guy named David Calhoun who's being forced out this week as the president of Boeing. He's been an abject failure. Their stock is down 35%. More importantly, they've had many, many safety problems with the airplane since he took over. And yet he's walking out with an annual salary of $24 million and possibly a $65 million golden parachute. People see this kind of living, people flying around in private jets and all that. And, you know, I mean, we're turning out billionaires like rabbits. But then when you really look at typical Americans, like I think we are, you go to the grocery store and you see that prices are still at their all-time high.
Yeah.
And sometimes going higher, even though inflation has been reduced. The conglomerates that are running the show are just chinking it in. They're just putting their pockets every way they can. Anyway, I talked about, you know, I was blowing off some steam, Bill, but I belong to a little sports club, and they had to replace a generator, which cost $150 3 years ago. By the time the contractors got through with them this year, they paid $1,250.
Everybody wants a piece of the action, don't they, these days?
Well, you know, it's a joke, except it isn't. People are using the idea that inflation is there as an excuse to raise their prices when they don't need to.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Well, I don't know. I blew off some steam, and thank you to the editors of the Star for letting me do it.
Hey, Terry, Speaker Johnson, is he in any kind of trouble? Well, he is a little bit, I guess, with his fellow Republicans. Will he survive another challenge?
Yeah, this Congresswoman Green has already filed a petition to take him out of the speakership, and that could force a vote in the House. Anytime any Republican speaker tries to do something sane, like meet our military commitments, some right-wing nut pops up out of their caucus and challenges them. It's a terrible thing. Johnson, I think he's not my cup of tea. I mean, he's a real right, kind of a right-wing guy, but he's a good person, basically. And I think he's trying to do the right thing, and maybe will do the right thing, but it may well cost him the speakership.
You're looking at some of the polling, and I know we're, what, 7 months, 7.5 months away from the election, but this looks like it's going to be an incredibly close election. Would you agree?
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know what to think, Bill.
maybe not.
You know, yeah. You, on one side, you've got this guy who's basically a criminal, and on the other side, a president who's been pretty darn successful. But people don't see it that way. And in politics, you got to understand how people are seeing things. And I think one of the things that Trump has going for him is he's created a situation where people feel they're part of something. Many people, you know, in rural areas, Christian conservatives who felt left behind and so on, feel that they have a defender here, even though they don't, but he sold that idea. And I think in his side, he's got people who feel that they're part of something. On the Democratic side, all the facts are there. All the policies are there. They've all been successful, most of them. Maybe too much spending. But basically, a lot of success. But people don't seem to grab onto this and feel like they're part of something. And I think that's the big difference going on here. If I were President Biden, I would think about how you could kind of create a Team America to save democracy and have people feel that they're part of it, because we all are part of it. It needs to be articulated.
Well, I wish you, maybe that suggestion needs to go to some of your friends. That's actually a darn good idea about the Team America, Terry Bracey.
Oh, I'm full of ideas, but I have no power.
Well, I heard the birds chirping in the background down there in Florida. It must be very nice. Before we let you go, your buddy, former Senator Bill Bradley, you were writing about him recently. You had a lot of reaction to that column, didn't you?
Oh, it's tremendous. I mean, I had no idea that people still really understood what Bill did. I mean, I think the country is hungry for heroes. And here's a guy who did it right. He went to school. He turned down. He was the top high school player in the country, turned down 75 scholarship offers to go to Princeton and pay for it. And then was the college player of the year and in the NBA draft picked first by the Knicks. But instead, he chose a Rhodes Scholarship and went to England to study and get an advanced degree. And only then did he come back and play pro basketball, which he did for 10 years in the Hall of Fame. So he's an extraordinary guy. He's written 6 books. He was an extraordinary U.S. senator for 18 years. And he's just the kind of person you want to get your grandkids and say, take a look at this person. This is how you do it.
You're still in touch with your buddy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're very close friends. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to write about your friends. I mean, you have to be objective. But, you know, but in Bill's case, I think, you know, it's a story that once was all over the front pages of all the magazines and so on, but the years go by and you enter into new ages of high tech and and TikTok and everything else. And, you know, I'm just trying to get the younger people to understand what is possible in America. And Bill's a perfect example of that.
Good for you. I'm glad you wrote that column. All right, Terry Bracey, enjoy your time in Florida. We'll check in with you in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
Okay, I'll be tuning in to get some economic advice here.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Thanks, Terry Bracey, with us to get things rolling on our Tuesday. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, is ready for you right now with lunch. If you'd like an alcoholic beverage with your lunch, you could do that too now. Have a beer, have a glass of wine. It's all happening up at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open at 6:30 for breakfast Tuesday through Sunday, and you can have a mimosa with your breakfast, orange juice and champagne, or whatever you would like. The little added enhancement now at Mona's Danish Bakery. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Shelly Fishman's with me in studio. Shell, how are we doing today? Well, just let's say it's sort of neutral on the indices. We'll be right. Well, no, a little bit more. Thumbs up, right? All right. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. Shelly Fishman is a financial advisor and business consultant in Tucson, Arizona. Contact Shelly via buckmastershow.com or directly via email at saf824@earthlink.net.
And let's get off and running now with Shelly Fishman, who appears on our program each Tuesday. at this time. Shelly, how are you?
Well, I was okay until I inhaled my own saliva.
Oh, my goodness. No.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah, there you go. I said that that the markets, the indices, were kind of neutral, but actually we've got a little bit of movement.
Yeah, we're up about 100 points on the Dow.
A couple of days of down on the Dow. But anyway, it's good.
Well, it depends on, you know, your memory and what you choose to remember. Last week, I lied.
Oh, no.
I said that the Fed was meeting this week, and in fact, they met last week. Shame on me, because Mr. Powell then made a double liar out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I was quoting the general consensus among economists who thought that Powell would announce 2 rate cuts after the middle of the year.
Did he announce more?
He did. He announced the likelihood that there would be 3 rate cuts before the end of the year.
The markets
went nuts.
Yeah.
By Friday afternoon, we had records in like every index.
Yeah.
So a little bit contraction by the end of Friday, and then yesterday was kind of modest. Today is doing okay. We're not at the high levels that we were at the end of last week, but you know, clearly the market liked that news, was a little bit surprised by it, as was I. And so if you know, if you're an investor and you wonder how your investments are doing, don't bother looking. They're doing fine.
Well, Donald Trump's apparently doing fine. Big news for him today. At least doing fine on paper, I guess.
Yeah, you got it exactly right. So this requires about an hour and a half of mm-hmm. economics lecture. You're not going to get that today. But what happened is that Donald Trump had established a media company that was going to become the place where he communicates with his fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Truth Social. And Truth Social last year had revenues of $3.3 million and a loss of $49 million.
Ooh.
So you would think, you know, that's doing real well.
Mm.
No, it's not. But in conjunction with what's called a special interest investor, they did this morning an initial public offering.
Mm.
The initial public offering at the offering price, by the way, I don't normally talk about individual companies, but this is a new one, and mm-hmm. it is the former president. The ticker symbol on the NASDAQ is DJT,
mm-hmm.
stands for Donald J. Trump. And it is valued at its offering price at over $4 billion.
Mm.
Now,
okay,
remember, $3.3 million in revenue during uh-huh. the first 9 months of last year and a $49 million loss.
Yeah, you got to have a lot of fans to come forward to buy the shares
So that's 1,000 times earnings.
Yeah.
The price of the stock, as it has been driven up today, because you know lots of people think that the president, the former president, is going to win, and this will be a winner in the markets, have driven the price up even higher than its initial offering price. And at 1,000 times earnings, to compare it, Reddit's around 10 times earnings, Meta is around 7 times earnings, Snap at 6 times earnings. This new stock, DJT, is at 1,000 times earnings. It is...
That may be a first.
Well, it may be. Now, there are, you know, some stars out there that just do well and you know, grab a lot of attention. So Trump, in about midday today, his holdings at around 60% of the stock in that company is over $4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have no idea what he invested to get there, but I can assure you it wasn't anywhere near $4 billion, which, you know, brings us to a whole, you know, what is an IPO? IPO is an initial public offering of stock. This was a private company that was linked with a special purpose investment company. They merged so that they could do this initial private offering. Initial private offerings are always regulated very tightly by the SEC. So there had to have been a prospectus offered, which I would advise anyone to read very, very carefully. And there's always several kinds of stock in an initial offering. The initial investors in the company usually get the first crack at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they get an insider's, you know, amount of stock. Then some amount is then offered to the public, and that's what gets traded. Normally, for the insiders, the people who get that initial stock, there are restrictions in as to how quickly they're allowed to trade that stock. Those restrictions are there to protect the public, quite frankly. And in this particular case, you would expect that any of the initial restricted stock owners would have to wait 6 months or about 180 days before they could trade the stock, unless the board of directors says, no, we will forgive that. You're allowed to trade some of that stock sooner, in which case they'll be able to do that. And with the single owner, Mr. Trump, owning about 60% of the stock, he controls the voting of the board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens there. Now, there are downsides to dumping stock. And the big downside is, number one, you've got some capital gains, short-term capital gains that you'd have to deal with. You know, if I had, you know, $3 million today and $4 billion with a B, you know, tomorrow, I'd be happy to pay the capital gains tax on that.
Yeah.
Just fine. But also, when the inside owners start putting that stock on the market, then it normally has the effect of depressing the price.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might be perfectly willing to live with that. I mean, we went from a $49 million loss to, you know, whatever that stock closes at today. But what happened here is not magic. It's very unusual because of the people involved here, and it's very well regulated. So,
and a lot of those regulations, Shelley, correct me if I'm wrong, go back to the Great Depression.
They do.
From the 1930s.
The 1930s, exactly.
Yeah.
But the regulations on these special purpose companies actually date to just a couple of years ago, where they tightened up these regulations. However, and you know, we talk to investors here in this segment every week, investors who are willing to express some interest. It's too late, you know, to get in on the initial public offering.
Mm-hmm.
You now have to buy the stock on the open market. It's
depending
called the secondary
on where
market.
It closes
depending
today,
upon
right?
where it closes. For every buyer, there's a seller,
mm-hmm.
and so that's this stock now becomes a perfectly normal, regular stock, except a very, very high percentage of it is controlled by a very few people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, very often if you're a stockholder, you can depend upon other stockholders who are like-minded to at least keep the board of directors in check a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This will be very hard to do with this stock. I'm not sure if there's a percentage of the stock that is non-voting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But the caution for anybody who wants to buy something this new and something without a financial pedigree, if you will, no history of profitability, be very, very careful. Read that prospectus very, very carefully. Consult with your advisor, financial advisor, if you have a stockbroker, whatever. Go into this really carefully because you can get, you know, caught up in the roller coaster of prices as this thing finally stabilizes. Nobody knows where it'll stabilize.
Some of his devoted fans will want to get in, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know,
that's
those,
what they're banking on.
Those fans will probably assume that
that it's going to make money. They'll assume.
president will win, and then that particular platform will become a very popular platform.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite could happen.
Sure, it could.
So be very, very careful. Get advice before you sink your next rent check into this. But there's nothing illegal about it. He's done it, in the full light of transparency. And it's really interesting because it shows what can be done in a legal way that gets you from a loss of $49 million to a worth of $4 billion literally overnight.
Mm. Only in America.
I don't know. But the markets in general are doing very well. They're at or near records, and we can look at what Terry was saying, which is the success of the Biden economic plan, to really say that the markets looking forward are very optimistic.
All right. Shelly Fishman, always a pleasure. Have a great rest of the week, Shel.
You too, Bill.
All right. Be right back.
Take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. This portion presented by our friends at Green Things. and Zocalo Village, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. What a perfect time of year to do some gardening, because the weather in my 36 years here has to be considered this winter and early spring about the nicest that I can recall. Not too hot, not too cold, and the right amount of moisture. And it's a really thumbs up kind of situation with our weather. So it is a great time of year to go over to Green Things and get all your spring gardening taken care of, and all those the beautiful pots that they have from Mexico, Talavera, a lot of imported pots from Asia and Europe, a lot of interesting things at Zocalo Village, which is part of the Green Things family. The website is greenthingsaz.com, and the Zocalo Village website, zocalovillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, that is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're not on the phone right now. We're live in studio with Councilman Kevin Dahl, Democrat representing Ward Number 3. Kevin Dahl is the current vice mayor of the city of Tucson. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. So we've got a lot to unpack here in the next two 10-minute segments. Let's begin with personnel. Councilman Steve Kasacek is moving on to a position with this new development that is in, it's kind of a county private partnership called the Mosaic. And Steve's wrapping up his career. He's had a long stay on the council. He'll be my guest tomorrow for his exit interview. The council exit interview, and then I'm sure we'll bring him in just to talk about the new project in the coming weeks. There's a goodbye party tonight at the Shanty, right?
From 5 to 7,
yeah. And the public is invited.
The public is invited. I hope we don't overflow the facility. Steve has a lot of friends. He did such good work for Ward 6. I'm sad to see him go, as I'm sure many of the Ward 6 residents are as well.
Did this blindside you guys?
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. He kept it close to his chest.
I don't think many folks knew. So what's the process here? Whenever we have these kinds of resignations, and we've had them on the county and sometimes on the city, it's a choice between a placeholder and someone that has ambitions to run and be a part of the Tucson City Council.
That's one of the decisions we'll have to make. I'm leaning towards the placeholder.
You are.
Yeah, because there are several people who I suspect would want to run, and it gives someone an unfair advantage.
Yes.
And it'll be a harder choice to choose between those rather than people who are just willing to serve and have some good experience to serve until December 2025. Mm-hmm. The process is lined out by our charter, and then we're going to add some features to it. We want to replace, but by charter, it's the mayor and council, the remaining council members that elect somebody. That choose somebody and appoint
from the same party, must be from the same party or no?
That's our preference.
Okay. Is that in the chart?
That's not in our rules. But it would be unlikely that it would be anybody but a Democrat, considering who's on mayor and council. We've opened up an application period, April 1st to April 15th, and we're asking people to send a letter of interest describing their qualifications and perhaps a resume or a CV. From those, each council member and the mayor will pick their top four choices, and we'll try to narrow it down to four people to come to a special meeting of mayor and council and interview them, and then make the selection at that meeting, which will be late April or early May. There will probably be a quorum, a public forum of some sort. We're hoping the What's the nonpartisan women, League of Women Voters,
yes.
Who have done such good work with other forums. We hope they will
kind of host that for you all.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's coming up down the road. And also, the decision now has been made. And I personally back this decision 100% because I've known Tim Tomier from his days with Tucson Water. And I believe he's one of the most knowledgeable people on water in the Southwest, maybe even in the United States. And to have him now as the city manager, I guess you could call it, to be city manager. He will take over from city manager Mike Ortega, who will step aside after the budget processing in June. But Tim is so qualified. He knows the city. He's worked in, it seems like he's worked in every department. He know, if he hasn't worked there, he knows about what's going on there.
Yeah, and yeah. He also had the role of assistant manager and...
Mike was grooming him.
And deputy manager.
Mike Ortega was grooming him.
Mike has always had a succession policy, and he's not the only qualified person that we have in the executive leadership team.
In the cabinet.
Yeah, exactly. The choice was a slam dunk for us. There was some concern about process, but... the stability that we achieve and the smooth transition of someone who knows all the players is well respected by other members of the leadership team, and it creates some assurances for leadership in all of our agencies. Who's going to be the new person? Are they going to try and mess with what we're doing? We kind of have a vision and a plan that Mike Ortega has worked for the 8-9 years that he's been with us, and I can't praise Mike well enough. He's the only city manager I've worked with. Before my term, there seemed to be a lot of turnover. He was so responsive. I've seen his leadership in small groups, and I've seen that he's thinking not 1 year ahead, but 5-10 years ahead, and has left us in a really good place. And I want to praise and appreciate, and I'm grateful for all his work. Sure, look forward to working with Tim Tamir.
Yeah, you want someone especially that's going to be taking over from Mike who really knows water because, let's face it, Kevin Dahl, sustainability for this desert community that we live in, that's a top priority.
It has to be a top priority. It's a concern as we see climate change making our community hotter, storms are stronger. Having an assured supply of water means that Tucson can maintain itself and people don't have to think about, wow, things are changing in the world. Ice fields are melting. There's massive wildfires in the West. Where can I move to be safe? Well, I and my colleagues are committed to making sure that Tucson is safe and resilient in the face of climate change.
Yeah, because you and your council members, your colleagues, passed a huge document, a huge blueprint about climate change, correct?
We have a plan and we're working our plan, yes.
I mean, and I'm sure Tim will be involved with that.
He's been part of it from the beginning and will continue that vision. And we're not just working on climate change. We have other things that we're doing in the city and for the last couple of years, Tim has been part of all of those as well.
And to get those things done, you're going to need money. That's
you're going to bring up that nasty B
you
word,
have
the budget.
Money, right? City of Tucson, budget, the engagement town halls. You want people to feel like they are part of the process for creating a document that will, the money plan for the 2025 fiscal year. There's a series of virtual budget meetings that are coming up. There's one today, actually, March 26th from 6:30 to 7:30, and then there's going to be some in-person meetings Wednesday, April 3rd from 6 to 7 at the El Rio Center, and then there will be one on April 4th. That's a Thursday, 6 to 7, and that's going to be at the Ward 2 office. You've got a big task here with this money picture.
Yeah, it's a $2 billion a year operation. And we have various sources of money. In the last couple of years, it's been easy because there was a lot of investment from the federal government to deal with COVID and to deal with infrastructure that we've been the recipient of and will continue for a short time to be the recipient of. But that's going away. The other things that's changed in our landscape is the state shared revenues from sales taxes. The state, against my wishes, has created a flat tax, which basically means people who earn a lot more money are paying a lot less. It doesn't really help people who are low income or middle income. It helps the people who are already making a lot of money.
So if there's less coming into the state for revenue, that affects every city and town.
It does. The state shared revenues will have a dramatic, will be dramatically less, and we have to account for that. That's the money that we use in our general fund for the things that we don't have dedicated pots of money coming to Tucson for. So police, fire, and all the other good things that we want to do, we have to make choices.
But there are plans that the voters approved for police and fire that resulted in increased infrastructure, more vehicles, trying to beef up the police and fire. And then there was also an initiative that passed by the voters about parks.
Yes, but, yes, we have bonds.
And there was an initiative about transportation that passed.
That's going to
improve
all of our streets.
Those are all in place.
That sort of dedicated money is great, but we still... from sales tax, from local sales taxes, and from the state shared sales taxes. That's the money that's not dedicated that we have to use here and there. Mm-hmm. It's going to be different. We're going to it's not horrible, but we will have to make some choices. And I'm committing to making sure that our workforce stays the way it is. I'm committed to fare free transit because I think that's so beneficial.
That's kind of been kicked down the road a couple of times, but so far it's still staying as free transit.
I hope it does. It's a public utility, and when I ride the bus, I see people going to work. I see students. The majority of we're helping working families, and we're helping students. And both of those populations in our city, need help. As a regular automobile driver, it helps me too because it keeps some of the traffic off the streets.
You will avoid potholes that way. Let the bus hit the potholes.
You were praising the weather this winter, but it's been heck on our streets.
Yeah.
We have a rough climate for streets. The heat
we do,
and the stormwaters are very rugged on our streets. So we've gotten good wildflowers this spring, and we've mm-hmm. gotten a good crop of potholes, and our crews are working overtime.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to set up a whole new work crew for potholes, but Sam Credio, our director of public transportation, has authorized overtime. So we're getting to them as quickly as we can. Not as quickly as anybody likes, including me. I had a huge swimming pool in front of my street, and it took three weeks before it was filled. Mm. But I could see why it was happening, because water was flowing down that street every time it rained.
Boy, I was so mad when I hit one over by TMC the other day. I went, oh my gosh, here we go. That's the alignment for sure. We've all got a pothole story.
There are a few people who like potholes, and I think it's the automobile repair business.
Oh, yeah.
But also people who don't want drivers going fast down their streets. If you're smart, you slow down when you see potholes ahead.
Yeah. All right. Kevin Dell sticks around for segment number four, his second segment with us. We'll be back with Kevin, Vice Mayor, City of Tucson, right after we take a quick break.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Not only is it a perfect time of year to do some gardening, it's a perfect time of year to do some hiking. My goodness, the Gila National Wilderness over in Silver City, of course, one of our great sponsors. The Gila is right on the doorstep of Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We send a lot of our listeners over to Silver City, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson, lots to do, the hiking in the Gila. Then there's the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Perfect time of year to visit our friends over in Southwest New Mexico. And that is their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Check it out before you jump in the car or the truck or even on the motorcycle and take the trip over to Silver City, New Mexico. All right, we continue now our conversation with the vice mayor of the city of Tucson. His name is Kevin Dahl. He is the Ward 3 council member, and he's a Democrat. Well, all the council people are Democrats, but for folks that are new to town, he's a Democrat. So,
and a proud Democrat.
There you go.
Yeah.
The 11th hour infusion of federal funds apparently is going to happen, and that's making a lot of folks breathe a little bit easier as we look at Pima County's Migrant Aid Coalition. And they're optimistic that, you know, the deadline, as you well know, Kevin, the existing federal support runs out, dries up on April 1st. So we may be okay here.
I think we will be. Otherwise, it would have been the worst April Fool's joke ever.
Yeah. Big street releases.
City of Tucson provides some support. Pima County is the conduit for the federal money, and Casas Alitas, the nonprofit, is doing the hard work with a lot of volunteers, greeting and supporting legally in this country asylum seekers. They've already been vetted by the Border Patrol. Border Patrol, not only in Tucson, but throughout southern Arizona, brings them to this facility. These are people who have families and or sponsors elsewhere in the country, and they just need some help. They've just made an arduous journey, unimaginable, I think, and they might need some medical attention. Certainly, they need a warm meal and some help with their travel, charging their cell phones so that they can make arrangements. Most of them fly out of here on cheap flights, cheaper than the bus, I learned, to get to most of the locations. And I'm so happy that this will continue. It would have been a disaster. And both the city of Tucson and Pima County have been working together with other partners to come up with scenario planning in case it didn't happen. But it would have been a disastrous situation. 1,000 people a day on average are processed through that. If there were 1,000 people a day released on the city streets who needing help, the nonprofits would be overwhelmed.
And you could have a homeless situation on steroids.
That's someone you're quoting, and that's it.
I think I may be quoting Jan Lesher on that, the Pima County Administrator.
Yes, and she's been, her leadership has been key on dealing with this problem. And we had some plans. We had Plan B, Plan C, Plan D. But it's a federal situation. The federal government has accepted these asylum seekers, as they should. That's our legal duty. And to dump it on municipalities and counties and would not have been right. So thank goodness the Congress was able to finish off their budget for this fiscal year, which started last September, I think.
Or, mm-hmm.
We will have smooth sailing ahead.
So many cases have been, the police have been the point people, the officers, the men and women of the Tucson police have been the first ones kind of addressing the homeless situation. That's shifting, isn't it?
The city of Tucson realized that this was an inappropriate use of police resources. There's plenty of crime situations and traffic, and et cetera, that the police should be dealing with. We set up a separate agency staffed mostly with social workers called the Community Safety, Health, and Wellness. And these fine people are the first responders when someone reports a homeless person or a homeless encampment. And we have protocols in place. They come in with all sorts of support and information on to help homeless people. And if it's a struggling situation and if it's an inappropriate encampment, then the police can be called in to deal with it. But so often, providing a helping hand by people who have lived experience in many cases and have learned all the resources that are available, it's not enough, Bill. You know that the homeless situation has gotten worse and worse, and it's not by choice. It's an economic problem. It's a mental health problem, and in some cases, it's a drug problem. And the overlay of drugs makes it so much worse.
And that 311 non-emergency call system is helping too, isn't it?
That's right. Rather than trying to figure out the right number, 311 mm-hmm. will get you to people who will direct you. Maybe you do need police. Maybe mm-hmm. you do need fire, but mm-hmm. they can direct you to the non-emergency help and provide the information
so
you need.
So if listeners have a problem with, maybe there's a homeless group that they want to have addressed, 311 would be the appropriate call.
Yes, it's useful for potholes and everything else the
is
city
it really?
Can do.
Yeah. The potholes can be addressed there too.
There's also apps that we provide free of charge for smartphones. If you want to take pictures of potholes, get our C-Click Fix app and then take as many pictures as you like. That really helps us because it has the GPS on it automatically.
What about your particular ward? Is there something as we wrap up today that you would like to say about what's going on or if people have concerns, what should they do?
Well, I'm very proud of our ward office. So contact us with any city sort of concern. And if it's any concern, we will direct you to the right place. I have well-trained council aides who can help you deal with a problem, whether it's noise from the next-door neighbor, potholes. You're concerned about a person walking down the street who looks like they're just not doing well. Compassionate concerns or concerns of safety, Ward 3 is ready to help you out.
And you can just Google it, City of Tucson, Ward 3. That'd probably be the easiest thing.
Yeah, I do have a phone number.
While you're doing that, I'll start to wrap the show up, and then you can give me the phone number, okay?
Thank you, sure.
All right, that is going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John, engineering and producing our program, and the Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Kevin Dahl, Ward 3. What is the Ward 3 phone number?
520-791-4711.
All right. Thank you very
much,
sir.
Thank you, Bill. This has been great.
Thanks a lot. And we'll be now having you on. Looks like you'll be with us pretty much the first Wednesday of every month. That was a slot that we had for Councilman Kasacek, but he's this week, that's it for him. He will be on the show tomorrow, by the way, for his exit interview. Have a great afternoon, everybody.